The Lord bless the words of my lips and meditations of my heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Pretty famous passage this morning that we read in the gospel lesson. The parable of a publican and of a Pharisee, both going up into the temple to pray. And the similarities between the two tends to end there. And as we were just singing this hymn, it reminded me that the importance of prayer, and now all of us know that, and so it should not surprise us that Jesus himself chooses to teach a lesson on prayer. In fact, oftentimes our Lord would tell us this is how to pray, not only in words, but in spirit also. Because one of the things we have to remember is that the words are not as important as what's in the heart. Sometimes as I talk to people in my role as a chaplain, you meet people from all walks of life, and you meet people with all different backgrounds and knowledge. And sometimes they'll tell me, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what words to say. And what I tell them is, if your heart is sincere, whatever words you say, our Lord will hear and our Lord will answer. We see that beautifully here in the prayer of the Pharisee and of the publican. There's a couple of things, though, in this prayer that's amazing. First of all, neither the Pharisee nor the publican say anything that is untrue. When we come to this passage and wonder why the publican's prayer is heard and the Pharisee's prayer is not heard, we must not come to this passage and say, well, it's because the Pharisee is praying untrue. He's not. He's being very truthful in everything that he says. He honestly could look around and say, Lord, I have not done this. I have not done this. I have not done this. Oftentimes, because we know our historical knowledge in the way that our Lord characterizes the Pharisees against the religious, the people of his followers of the day, we tend to paint them in a very, very negative light. And they should. And they should, because they were holding the people back. However, if you were to meet a Pharisee on the street, they would probably be what we would consider a pillar of the community. They would be someone that we would want to model our life after, at least in ethics and morals. Now, when you get behind that layer, you can see that the heart is all wrong. But on the outside, just on the visual that we would see, they would be the quintessential person of what it means to be religious. And so as he's praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like anybody else, he's being honest. He could probably go through every one of the laws that were handed down, all 600 and something of them, and say, I have not broken a single one. He was not an extortioner. He was not an adulterer. He fasted twice a week, which was an additional requirement because it was not twice a week was not required by law. But he did it anyway. All of these things were very honest. All of these things were very open. And yet, his prayer was not heard. The publican, on the other hand, is also very honest. The publicans, and Jesus uses the publican intentionally in this story, would be hated by anyone else who heard this story. They were Jews who worked for the Romans, the lowest of the low. And the way the Roman system worked, whatever taxes you collected, as long as you collected enough for Rome, whatever you collected over that was on your own. And if you collected over that, you still had the backing of the power of Rome in order to do that. Your taxes are 10%, I can collect 30%, leave 20% for myself. So it would even be wrong for us today. Sometimes I've heard this passage preached and said, well, these are like the modern IRS agents. No, they're worse. Because at least by law, the IRS can only tax this much. They could go even further. And so they would extort. They were evil. Not only were they taking money, they were working for the oppressor.
And so he's honest as well. And yet he goes and he prays. He doesn't even lift his eyes to heaven, the very symbol of humility. And his prayer is heard. So the question comes in, if both of them are 100% honest in prayer, what's the difference? The difference is the attitude of the prayer. The attitude of the heart of the person. The Pharisee goes before God to tell God how good he is. The publican goes before God to ask for God's grace. We don't know. Our Lord never tells us. This publican could be a very fair publican. All of them were not evil. Some of them were just looking for work. Some of them even would work within the system to bring about some type of change. And they would only take what was absolutely necessary to take in order to keep Rome off the backs of the people. Because you see, the reality was, if the publicans did not take the taxes from the people, Rome would not come just against the publicans. They would come against the people as well. It very well could be that this publican viewed himself as one who stood in the gap to keep the oppressor off of the people. We don't know. This publican also may not have been an adulterer. He may have taken care of his family. He may have done everything that is good. But he understands that our Lord knows that. And he doesn't need to be reminded. Because when he goes before our Lord, he realizes that he doesn't need to be reminded of how good he is. He needs God's grace for mercy. And so that's what he prays for. We need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful that when we go before our Lord, we do not remind him of how good we are. And we may be great people. We may do things that are wonderful. We may give more than could ever be imaginable. We may help more people than could ever be imaginable. Our Lord knows that. And here's the other part of it. It matters, but not to salvation. Because you see, if we are doing those things in order to gain God's favor, those things actually end up damning us more. Because we're not doing them out of a sincere heart. We're not doing them out of the love of God. We're doing them only to save our own souls. And therefore, we're doing them for a prideful reason. I help people, not because it may gain me favor in heaven. I help people because our Lord said help people. And because I have received help. And as I have received help, then I must give. And so if it is a gift of grace from God, I cannot brag on it. Because it's nothing that I have done. So when we go before our Lord, we ask for mercy. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we know that is what we need most. No matter how long we've been in church, no matter how many times we attend the sacraments, no matter how often we come before the altar, we know down deep we still need mercy. And so that's what we plead for. I'm often reminded of the life of Mother Teresa. I was talking to someone the other day. We were explaining the difference between Roman Catholic and Anglican Catholic and Eastern Orthodox and the whole vein of the Catholic understanding and how saints are done and everything. And they ask, in the Anglican world, is there a set system of how saints are made? And I said, no. I said, it's just kind of a general understanding. When the church tends to accept them as a saint, they're a saint. Where in the Roman world, there's more of a generalized system. And the Pope can speed it up, and by speeding it up, it means 50 years. You know, and like a Roman priest friend of mine once said, there's a reason Rome is called the Eternal City, because sometimes things take a long time to happen, but which is good. But I said, you know, if Mother Teresa had been Anglican, she would be a saint now. We just understand that based on our life. But if you read her writings, not just what's written about her, but if you read her writings, it's amazing. She did not consider herself a saint. In fact, sometimes in her writings, she didn't really consider herself good. She had that same internal struggle that you and I do. And yet from the outside world, we look. Sometimes I wish that I could have heard one of her prayers. We have some that are written, that are attributed to her. But I've not read one of her prayers. I have a feeling, though. I don't know this for a fact. I have a feeling. If we could hear her pray, it would have sounded a lot like the public. Or it may have just been a very simple prayer that all of us need to learn. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Those are the prayers that are heard. Let me tell you something else. When prayers are heard, our Lord responds. When we go before the Lord and pray, Lord, have mercy on me. Let me feel your mercy. Our Lord responds. Our Lord gives us the true desires of our heart. And if the true desires of our heart is to exalt ourselves, He lets us exalt ourselves. And therefore we remove ourselves from His grace and we remove ourselves from His help. But if the true desire of our heart is also to lean upon His mercy and to feel His mercy, then that is given as well. You all know, and I've said this many times before, between now and the end of today's service, we have a lot of prayers. Wonderful. Wonderful that we pray. Focus not only on the words, because the words are beautiful. The words are there. The words tell us who we are and where we stand before God. But as we go through the remainder of the service, as we work like our Orthodox brethren say, the liturgy, the work of the people, pray it with the attitude, Lord, this is who I am. This is what I need to feel your mercy and your grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.